Welcome to David Clark's We Are Superman podcast number 133. I am your host, Bill Stahl. For today's Power Play, I'm going to begin a periodic series of short training tips as you get back into racing. We've had an incredibly wet spring here in Denver, Colorado, and it's raining again here now, which washed out the track meet that I was at this afternoon. I know it's been cool and rainy throughout much of the country as well, and that's delayed a lot of you from getting into a lot of higher quality training yet, so hopefully this is somewhat timely for you. As most runners understand, if you want to run faster, you've got to train faster. However, if we leave our relatively safe haven of cranking out easy miles to then pushing our training limits, we straddle the knife's edge between optimum performance and injury. If you were to flip the switch from base building, where you steadily increase the number of miles you log, to running speed workouts, you might find yourself icing, taking pain relievers, or visiting the physical therapist or doctor's office. Hence the need to do transition workouts such as fartleks, tempos, and hills before diving into speed work. Today we're going to talk about hill training. Note that if you are training to run a faster 5K, 10K, half marathon, even marathon, hills often have a different significance than if you were training for a tough ultra race with lung-busting climbs, so we'll address those separately. Same is true if you are a high school track runner and you're running those shorter distances, that's where hills come into play as well. So hills for the shorter races serve the purpose of building strength so you can more safely transition to faster workouts like intervals on the track or on grass. They are like speed training without pounding and associated risks. Now, one misconception is that if you have a hilly event coming up soon, that you should run hills. I saw this put into play by a high school cross country coach who had been running on their team had been running on fairly flat courses all season, and then they're coming up to the Colorado State meet, which is on a hilly course, and this coach had the idea that the team should practice on hills the week before the meet, and that's exactly the kind of thing you don't want to do. That's not the purpose behind hill running. At that point, it was way too late for that coach's team to start learning how to run hills by running on hills. It just not a wise move. In fact, all that did was wear the team out. Anecdotally, I can tell you that team finished a very far dead last at the state meet that year. So that's not the purpose behind hill training. It is to build strength, and that can transition you to actual speed work. So first of all, let's talk about form. When you're running up a hill, you want your body to be roughly perpendicular to the slope of the hill. And it's actually true if you're running uphill or downhill, you want your body to be perpendicular. So you're going to lean a little bit into the hill, but your lean should be from your ankles. The big mistake a lot of people make is bending at the waist. And try this sometime yourself. Even on flat land, this is true. If you bend at the waist, try lifting your knees up and then stand straight tall and lift your knees up again, and notice how much easier it is when you are tall. So again, don't bend at the waist when you're trying to run up a hill. Bend at the ankles. Also, when it comes to form, you want to make sure you're using a very good arm swing. So make sure you are using a good vigorous arm swing. Move your arms forward and backwards. A lot of runners don't like to bend their elbows, and you certainly can. You don't have to lock your elbows into place whatsoever. So definitely a good arm swing. Keep your feet on the ground as long as possible. It's actually a good practice with running in general, keeping your foot on the ground behind you longer. That's a whole different form issue there. But when you're running uphill, the only time you can propel yourself up the hill is if your foot is actually on the ground. If you are up in the air, gravity is just pulling you back down. And in this case, you're going downhill. So keep your foot on the ground as long as possible to propel yourself upward. One of the things also I give as specific advice to runners is don't look at the top of the hill. As you know, it's very daunting. If you are going up a very large hill and you are looking at the summit, it gets pretty daunting if you're working, and it still seems very far away. So what I emphasize to runners is to find intermediate landmarks along the way, and it could be a crack in the road if you're on the road. It could be a tree, a root, a fire hydrant, whatever it is. Find a specific point you're trying to get to partway up the hill. And when you get there, you kind of congratulate yourself. Give yourself a little pat on the back and then lift your eyes to the next target and find that next tree or leaf or whatever it is that's going to serve as your next target to get to. And repeatedly do that so that you're not just, like I say, looking at the top of the hill and it looks like a very daunting challenge. Where should you run hills? Preferably on a softer surface. Dirt is obviously great. Grass is great. You can do hill repeats on roads, of course, but again, you'll end up, with a little more pounding going on. As far as the pitch of the hill, I would aim for a medium type pitch hill. And of course, when I say medium, it's relatively speaking, according to where you live. Obviously, what's medium in Florida is not going to be the same as medium in a place like Colorado. So, but I would aim for something medium. If you're going on too steep a pitch, really all you're ending up doing is, trudging up there, sometimes with your hands on your knees. That's not really serving the purpose. That defeats the purpose of what you're trying to gain out of these hill repeats. So probably a good moderate slope, something that you can still attack while running. And again, that's kind of a key word, you want to attack. So if you're not able to run that hill aggressively, then again, you're going to be losing some there. So with form, again, think about keeping that slight forward lean going, use your arm action, and lift your knees. I forgot to mention that earlier. Make sure you're lifting your knees and keep your feet on the ground as long as possible behind you. So those elements will help your form get you up the hill most efficiently. So let me give you some examples of specific workouts that you can do. I like to start a lot of runners off who are doing hills for, relatively the first time, to do maybe just 10 repeats of hills, maybe about 150 to 200 meters in length. And again, they're going to focus on their form. Once you have mastered doing 10 or so medium hills, I tend to move runners up. They can do 12 repeats the next time, 14 of those medium hills the next time. And then we'll actually extend the length of the hill and increase the speed. So eventually you're going to progress yourself up to as many as 20 medium long hills. So these could be 200 to 300 meters even if you have a hill that long available to you, and do them at 90% full speed. So it is almost a sprint. Really work this going up the hill so you get the full benefit of working uphill. Because again, when you're training for a shorter distance, this is about transitioning to speed. This is not like ultra running training for hills. So again, work your way up to 90% full speed, up to 20 reps. And then at that point, when you've also done your fartleks and your tempo runs, you're probably ready to start getting into speed work. Another element you can add that I like to add to the hill training is skips. So sometimes I will tell kids to maybe they're going to do 15 hills and they're going to do 5 skips. And skipping is exactly as it sounds. You're going to really push off your ankles, so it's a good ankle builder. You will be amazed at the kind of aerobic capacity you have to use to use skips up there. And it adds a whole lot of strength. So try that. Add some skips into your hill repeats. For you coaches out there, here's a little game that I have the kids play. Again, I always like to disguise games as workouts. Kids are having more fun, don't even realize they're getting a workout in. So this is flashcards. I actually made a homemade set of flashcards years ago. They had pictures of ships and cars and boats and planes and sharks and turtles, all sorts of different objects on these flashcards. I pair the kids up. I tell them to get with somebody who is relatively the same ability as they are, and they're going to run up the hill together. When they get to the top of wherever I am standing or my assistant coach, the coach or I will hand them one card. And then they'll go ahead and jog back down the hill, and then they will jog, then they'll go ahead and run back up and get another card. The object is to get a certain number of pairs or triplicates, three of a kinds, basically. And once they've achieved that, they're done with the workout. And, it becomes a bit of a game. They're trying to match these. I have a lot of different flashcards. So in general, they are going to get in a lot of repeats. And I can move up and down the hill if I want them to do shorter hills or long hills, and I can totally mix them up. I can also kind of gear the effort the kids are making. And, when I realize the kids are starting to reach the end, I can certainly move down the hill and make those hills shorter. I do penalize the kids for cheating. So if I do catch them swapping cards with other teams, that is a penalty out there. And again, it's just kind of a fun way to have the kids do some hill repeats and have a little bit of fun at the same time. Another element you can add is downhill workouts. I only want to do these maybe more frequently than maybe once every 3 weeks. So basically, and you also want to do this on a soft surface. I would not do this on an asphalt surface or anything like that. So if you're on a grass hill, you can occasionally do downhill workouts, and I'll only have the kids do maybe 3 or 4 of these at a time, because that eccentric running, they will get very sore from that. But the benefit is they are really getting their legs turning over very quickly when they're running downhill. So sometimes that good downhill work is beneficial both to develop speed, but also helps with their form. You do a lot more practicing your form uphill, but running downhill, you really want to make sure that you're not holding back. It's such a tendency for so many runners to lean backwards, you know, in a braking motion, which is, again, is detrimental for their speed. It actually can lead to further injuries. And in a lot of cases, if you're running, say, on dirt, you lean backwards. As many of you know, your feet could go right out from under you. Next thing you know, you're slamming your butt into the ground. So really emphasize again that they're going to keep themselves on a perpendicular angle to the slope of the hill. And then finally, we emphasize the arms. I really want the kids to almost feel like they're like a little kid playing like they're an airplane, or cycle their arms, you know, as if their arms are bicycle spokes. I don't know what you call that, but the hub of the bicycle. But really just let your arms go going down the hill. Because again, they're really just used for balance at that point. You're not using your arms to propel yourself as they do when you're running flat or uphill. So there are some ideas for running hills if you're on a training for, quote, shorter distances. If you're training to run an ultra marathon, definitely hills, practicing running hills is important, especially if you're doing, you know, a typically challenging ultra marathon that's got a lot of hills. I think it's much better to do that kind of training on trails. You can certainly do a lot of this indoors. You can, you know, do it on the treadmill or but I learned from experience a few years ago when I was running the Leadville Trail 100. I'd been injured and I did a lot of training indoors on the treadmill. It really didn't translate nearly as well as I thought versus just training on actual trails on hills. So let me give you a few ideas of some workouts that we do on the for running uphill, for training for ultras. One we call the Leadville Power Hike. And this one is actually one you can do on a treadmill. It's very good to do, you know, during the off season. You do a 10-minute warm-up on your treadmill, and then you do a fast uphill power hike. And again, this could be outdoors too. I shouldn't just say on a treadmill. You do a fast uphill power hike. So I want you to really move fast with your heart rate elevated and climb with a purpose. So definitely you want to be in a place that has at least a 10% incline, because again, this is more of a walking than running, and you'll be at a set speed. If you're on a treadmill, you want to shoot for about 3.5 miles per hour and shoot for about 30 minutes to start with this. And as you get better, of course, you can make this longer, but 3.5 miles per hour. So, you know, you're going, you know, about 17, 18 minutes per mile. And, you know, that's pretty good on a steep slope. So you can do this outdoors, but if you want to set the treadmill to 3.5 miles an hour indoors, do that for about 30 minutes to start and then finish off with a 10-minute cool down. So that's the Leadville Power Hike that I have a lot of my athletes do. Another good workout, this one is a ball buster. It's called the incline drop tempo workout. So this one you'll definitely do on a treadmill, because I want you to do precise inclines and time, speeds, everything else. So you start off with a 10-minute warm-up. Then for 8 minutes, you're going to set the treadmill to a 7% incline, and you're going to run hard for 8 minutes. And this should be so hard that you have to step off the treadmill 2 or 3 times just to grab a quick breath. You're purposely trying to get your body into a space where you have to adapt to the pace that is really not sustainable for you. So, really hard work, part of the workout there. Then for the next 8 minutes, you're going to drop the tempo, or drop the incline, I should say, to 6%, keeping the speed the same for the next 8 minutes. And this should feel like a small relief, but it should still feel really hard. Try to go the entire 8 minutes now without stepping off of the treadmill. Next 8 minutes, you're going to drop the incline to 5%, leave the pace the same as it was for 8 minutes. Again, try to keep going without stepping off. Finally, you're going to do, and I shouldn't say finally, but then you're going to go 16 minutes, drop the incline to 4%, leave the pace the same, again, for 16 minutes without stopping, hopefully. Then finally, drop it to flat and just let it rip for 10 minutes. Go as fast as you can. Again, when you're on the flat, it's going to feel really almost invigorating there. And do that for 10 minutes and then finally cool down for 10 minutes. It sounds like a brutal workout. It is, trust me. But that one will develop a lot of amazing ability to you. I got that one from David Clark. He was a master of running hills. Another thing he used to do all the time is sometimes he would just be working on the treadmill and he would just crank up the slope, crank up the speed, and just go absolutely balls out for a minute. And I just think those little bursts like that can really add a lot. And this is just in the middle of a regular treadmill workout, if you would. And he would just, like I say, just go ahead and crank it up as hard as he could for a minute, see if he could do that. Some other workouts you can do include, you can get on the stair climber. I know that was a favorite of David's. I would go to the gym, meet him there, and sometimes we would spend 2 hours on that stupid stair climber. And I'd say what, when I'm by myself, it's hard for me to want to go, you know, more than about 45 minutes on a stair climber. But I don't know what it was. That was when I was with David. We would just spend 2 hours just yakking away. It was amazing how quickly the time would go. And, you know, we'd crank it up pretty fast. I see people on the stair climber who sit there, do these super slow trudges up there, or they stick their legs out. I don't know what that's all about. That one just looks really funny. But like I said, I prefer to just get on there and really get that stair climber moving. I think that's a really good workout. If you have a gym, the gym I go to has this, I don't even know how to describe this particular elliptical, but you can set this to basically be on a steep climb on this elliptical. And I tell you what, that one really kicks my butt. I mean, literally, you know, kicks my glutes really hard when I get on that really steep kind of elliptical there, because I find you get a really high level of turnover when you're doing that and you are working really hard. So that is a good workout too, if you have ellipticals at your gym that you can set to that really high slope. And the spin bike is good too. I mean, it's not quite the same. I would probably rate it third among those machines. But you get a good spin workout, and not a spin bike workout, and not the regular bike, but that spin workout, I find I can really work up a sweat like crazy on that thing and be like, say, be really work my glutes, my hamstrings, and my quads, which are all important for hill climbing. So those are good gym workouts, I think. If you live in a place like Colorado or a place that's got some mountains, absolutely hiking is huge. I mean, the more you get used to being on the trail, on a steep slope, higher elevation, of course, always helps. But that kind of thing is just really going to help you overall. Because face it, when you're in an ultra, you're not going to be running up a lot of those hills. You're not going to be running much above, say, 11,500 feet, which I find is kind of a cutoff point where it gets just really difficult to run anything uphill. You can run on the flat, you can run downhill at that elevation, but again, so if you're climbing on a 14er, getting on some serious elevation, that can help you an awful lot. Let's talk real briefly about using poles. Become really popular. When I first started running ultras, nobody had poles. They were kind of the realm of hikers. But now you do see a lot of people out there using hiking poles while running. I've used them. I find they help. A lot of research shows that they can actually help you save about 15% of your energy that your legs would be using. So it's actually kind of cool to use those poles to take the load off your legs a little bit. One thing I will advise you, I found this out kind of the hard way. So I was always used to using poles like I do when I'm downhill skiing. And you kind of just wrap that pole around your wrist and grab the pole handle in your hands. And I didn't realize until after I'd begun using poles after a while that I should be using the poles more like Nordic skiers do, who are actually using those poles to really propel themselves forward. Namely, they put their hand first through the strap itself. They kind of wrap that strap so they are able to gain leverage from their wrists onto that strap itself. And so that actually gains to the leverage that they're able to use when they're planting those poles. So you may have to go onto YouTube or something like that, see how it's done. But again, you don't put your hands around the poles. You really wrap it around your wrist, and that really helps a lot. For more help with using poles while running, Jason Koop, who has the Koopcast, which is a highly recommended podcast. I think it's very beneficial if you're wanting to learn more about the running world. Listen to Jason Koop. He's a coach. And in his episode number 61 that he recorded, I think it was about the end of 2020, with Nicola Giovanelli, a scientist, they discuss a lot about the science behind using poles. It was a really good episode if you want to learn more about that. A lot of people use poles to run downhill as well. It helps with their balance. I have not mastered that technique yet, and it is a technique that is worthwhile learning, that you do need to learn if you want to do it. I tend to use the poles mostly for uphill running, and then I just kind of tuck my poles away. I actually, you know, fold them up to go downhill. I haven't mastered the technique of downhill running with poles yet, but they are useful there as well. So I hope those tips about doing hill running will help you develop strength and help you transition into either running faster later on when you're training, getting faster for your shorter races, or these tips help you in terms of getting better at going up hills when you're running an ultra marathon. And certainly that is a huge part of the race. I know when I do Hope Pass, which absolutely kicks my butt, that 20 miles of the race of 100 miles probably takes me a third of the race because hills are, for me, are such a challenge. So hopefully some of those tips will help you as well. Feel free to contact me if I can answer your questions about hills or any other aspect of your training. Thank you again for listening to the We Are Superman podcast. If you wish to support the podcast, the easiest and most impactful way is to subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. And please just take a minute and give it a 5-star rating. These 5-star ratings help us rise higher in the podcast services search algorithms, helping more people find our show. I would also appreciate it if you would share the podcast or a favorite episode with friends or on social media. In coming weeks, I'll be making an announcement about the Unfuck Your Fridge Challenge to help you adopt a better eating lifestyle and improve your health. Also, please contact me if, like many people during the pandemic, you have written a book and are looking for editing or proofreading services to ensure that it goes to press perfectly written without typos, misspellings, and grammatical errors. Nothing destroys your book credibility more than poor writing and editing. As many of you know, I was the editor for David's last couple of books, and I was very proud of getting those out to press, looking absolutely perfect for all of you readers. Until next time, get your vaccination so we can all get back to the people and doing the things that we love, and always be positive.